5:37. Glad you're here on the Dan Caplis Show. Boy, we have covered a lot of territory today. And Representative Lori Sain is going to end the show strong. She's going to join us in a minute. She in the middle of this firestorm, this state rep from Firestone, Colorado. Greeley Tribune reporting that Representative Sain sat on the floor of the House that blacks and whites were lynched in nearly equal numbers during Reconstruction for being Republican. And then the representative rightly complaining about Representative Perry Buck, who joined us in the 4 o'clock hour, being denied the opportunity to be prime sponsor of a resolution honoring Dr. King. Why? Because of the color of her skin. Think about how racist and wrong and sadly ironic that was, all in connection with Dr. King. And that is just how far left, how wildly left some of the Democrats in the Colorado legislature have gone now. So really appreciate the opportunity to talk with Representative Lori Sain. Welcome to 630KHOW.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, appreciate it. And wanted to give you a chance to just tell folks the story of what happened here during your address on the floor of the Colorado House on Friday.
Yeah, and it was quite a surprise. I didn't learn until pretty late that it turns out I may have been more than one member of the Black Caucus, but they told her she couldn't run a resolution that she introduced earlier. Mm-hmm. In the rules of the House and Senate, whoever introduces a resolution first, typically that's who gets to run it. Mm-hmm. Theirs was pulled earlier. It was the same as last year. And they somehow pulled the same resolution with identical wording. And that resolution, by the way, I don't know if you know, remember Dave Schultheis,
sure.
Senator Schultheis?
Sure.
He's the one who wrote that resolution.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, but back to the point, I couldn't believe someone would say that to another colleague who also represents Americans of all faith, color, and creed, that they couldn't introduce a resolution on the House floor honoring Reverend Martin Luther King.
And the reason why, and I know we had this conversation with Perry Buck, Representative Buck, earlier in the show, but from your understanding, Representative Sain, what was the explanation given to Representative Buck?
I was told she couldn't run the resolution because it wasn't her heritage. That's what I was told.
Yeah, which to me seems overtly racist. And I don't use that term often because, as you know, it's now unfortunately been rendered pretty meaningless because it's used by the left on anybody who disagrees with the left on virtually any issue.
Mm-hmm.
But in this case, it seems to be textbook racist, as I told Representative Buck, that you are denied the ability to introduce a motion, ironically one, you know, commemorating and honoring Dr. King, for no other reason other than the color of your skin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's racist, isn't it?
Well, I think everybody would agree with that. If somebody is denied what every other member of that body enjoys based on the color of their skin, I think you're right.
Well, and think about what an insult that is to Dr. King. Whoever did this, and Representative Buck did not name the person, but I have zero doubt that she's 100% accurate in her account. I think she just wants to try to, you know, avoid this becoming any more divisive than the Democrats have made it. But what an insult to Dr. King to deprive somebody of the opportunity of honoring Dr. King because of the color of that person's skin. So to me, whoever did this and those who support it and those who don't condemn it, I think are supporting it, you know, they're, I can think of some terms probably not appropriate for a family show, but they are dishonoring Dr. King.
Yeah, and you're right. Dr. King stood for all of us. And, I mean, his speeches were very pointed about not drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred, to judge folks by the content of their character, not the color of their skin.
But the other thing,
clear in the speeches he gave.
The other thing, and I know you've spoken to this, the other thing that Dr. King did so well, though, was he stood up to hatred and he stood up to bitterness and he stood up to racism. So I think it's critical that the GOP stand up to the racism the House Democrats showed on this issue. And so Are we going to see that? I know we've had listeners this afternoon, you know, over and over again saying, where's the Colorado GOP on this? Why isn't there some organized effort to call out the Democrats, demand an apology, have a promise that this won't be repeated? Because it seems to me this kind of awful behavior is not going away unless people stand up to it.
That's right. And the first part of standing up is speaking out.
Yeah,
if you don't speak out,
yeah,
you know, if you sweep it under the rug, it will just keep
right.
happening.
Right, exactly. And it will just encourage the bullies, because this obviously was worse than even bullying, but it was a form of bullying based on the race of the representative who was trying to honor Dr. King. And then Representative Saint, as you know, I don't know if you saw the Denver Post editorial today. My guess is somebody probably pointed it out to you. It was pretty vicious, aimed at you, over comments on the floor of the legislature. And the Greeley Tribune version of the comments, as you know, is that you had said essentially that blacks and whites had been lynched in nearly equal numbers during Reconstruction and lynched for being Republican. Do you want to clarify those comments? What's your view of all that now?
And I clearly meant Reconstruction. And Reconstruction is a period from 1865 to 1877, by the way. There's not a tremendous amount of data for a lot of those years, but the data we do have, and I should have modified or made a modifier to that speech I gave on the floor, but when you're writing things on the fly, you know, I knew, I've seen the numbers before, you know, I should have said during Reconstruction or the decade after. And it turns out that when you look at the data, and I've shared this data multiple times, it's out there, it's public, it turns out that there were more whites than blacks lynched. Numbers 525 for whites and 371 for blacks up until 1887. And so, you know, that's a full decade after Reconstruction. Now, nobody's denying that more blacks and whites were lynched over the course of the next, you know, 80-some years. But that was the point I was trying to make. We've come a long way since then. We've come a long way since, you know, that form of torture and political punishment was used to try to silence, you know, and try to undo all the benefits of Reconstruction. And,
right.
you know, and going on to the present day, you know, Dr. King would not want us to go backwards. I mean, there's been so much accomplished, even since his time, and we've been moving forward together. And there's, you know, there's very few countries that enjoy the level of comfort we have. You know, their middle class has less room, square footage than we do, eats less red meat, doesn't have all the conveniences that even the folks that are considered in our under the poverty level. It's America is amazing. It's amazing what it's brought innovation wise. We're one of the top countries in the world still. I think up to a fourth of innovations come out of the United States. I mean,
sure.
It's amazing.
Well, and Representative, I don't think there's any doubt, if people are being honest about it, that African Americans in this country are still tremendously disadvantaged in numbers far too great, particularly when it comes to equal opportunity in education. I think that can be traced almost always to policies of the Democrats, which have the effect of being blatantly racist. I'm not saying they're intended that way, but my goodness, they have such an obvious racist effect and disadvantage African Americans in so many ways. But let me ask you this, if I may, because I do want to give you the chance to clarify on this statement about lynching, because obviously you know that when it comes to something like lynching, that was such a tool of ultimate terror and is most directly, as you know, associated with the subrogation of African Americans in this country. I think one of the concerns, and one thing you may want to qualify, is the reason why people were lynched, because my guess is, and this is not something I've researched, but intuitively I'd guess that an awful lot of the whites who were lynched for various alleged crimes, such as stealing horses, bank robbery, etc., whereas as blacks were just being lynched for the color of their skin? I mean, do I have it right?
I have heard that argument before, but if you look at the lynchings earlier in the 1800s versus the numbers coming right out of Reconstruction, it's hard to say that all of a sudden they went from, you know, if you look at 1882 as 64 whites, 49 blacks, but that number jumps up on whites in 1884 to 160. It's hard to believe that that many people would say, gosh, I'm going to rob a bunch of banks today or do some horse trading. And then the number spikes for blacks in 1891 and 1892, big spike. And, you know, there's got to be a reason for that other than suddenly that many more people were caught stealing horses.
Well, but we know, don't we, that blacks were being lynched based on the color of their skin. And whites weren't being lynched based on the color of their skin, right?
So the accounts that we have of history that people have written books about, I mean, there's a lot of sources on this, but there's even a African-American congressman, his name is John Roy Lynch, and he had mentioned specifically, this is somebody who served during that time, that the blacks were hanged in greater numbers because of their opposition to the Democratic Party. So it was probably easier to tell by the color of their skin. I'm sure there's no doubt they were also lynched because of hatred. Somebody who looks different. There's no doubt about it.
Well, right. I don't think there's any doubt that was the central motivation for lynching mm-hmm. blacks and then blaming it on whatever, you know, the killers mm-hmm. and murderers chose to blame it on. But
right, exactly.
One thing that you've been criticized for, and I want to give you a chance to say whether, you know, it's accurate or not, is that you said that the reason for the lynchings was being Republican. Quoting the Tribune story, Greeley Tribune, a Colorado representative said black people and white people were lynched in nearly equal numbers for being Republican in the post-Reconstruction era. Mm-hmm. Is that accurate, that the Republican piece of that?
So the interesting part of this conversation is a lot of people emailed me and said, no whites were ever lynched. That's not true. For one thing, you can look at the numbers and see that was. So that started an interesting conversation that people did not know about. But there's plenty of accounts in history. There's books been written in that era. It's been pointed out to me that, even Ron Chernow, who wrote the Hamilton book, which was very well received, made into a play. He wrote another about Grant, and he was talking about some of the violence against white Republicans. And specifically the carpetbaggers, those young people who came down from the North to not only look for jobs, but they were also there to help the black folks in the South. And white folks that helped black folks in the South were also called, who were already there in the South, were called scumbags. So it's, you know, there's a lot of sources on this. I'm not saying that all of them were based on the fact that they were part of a political party. I never said that. I didn't say all of them were.
And
does that satisfy your question?
But I'm sure you can see why there was such a strong reaction to this, you know, in that some might have viewed it as, and I assume you'll tell us it was not your motive, and I would believe that, but some could easily view this as you attempting to equate the plight of whites with blacks when it came to lynching or to somehow downplay, you know, the horror that was inflicted on blacks, to politicize it, to make it a Republican thing. So can you see where people would see your comments that way?
Well, that certainly isn't my intent. And the rest of my speech goes on to say that Americans of all faith, creed, and race stood by Reverend King to march forward for civil rights, and they were beaten, they were tortured, they were killed. And the point of the matter was he stood for all Americans. He stood on the mountaintop for all Americans to have the same rights. And I believe King was about unity. So that's really where the flow of that speech was going. It was never meant to say or to downplay or take away from the horrors that happened in the Civil War and Reconstruction era.
Well, and to the point of context for this, I hope folks are aware that your comments and the comments on lynching, personally, I wish had not been part of your overall comments, but your overall comments, in fairness, you were on the floor to honor Dr. King, and that is what the bulk of your comments did. And mm-hmm. and then that was clearly the intent behind your appearance. And then, of course, for those just joining us, you know, that then we have at the same time going on, Representative Perry Buck denied the ability to introduce a resolution honoring Dr. King simply because she is white, which then brings us back to the state of the legislature today. So in the minute we have left, Representative Lori Sain, our guest, this outrageous treatment of Representative Buck based solely on the color of her skin, is that going to have any ramifications throughout the legislative session?
Well, I guess we'll have to see, but hopefully this whole conversation will spark a kinder, gentler treatment of all representatives, regardless of what side of the aisle they sit on.
Boy, I sure hope you're right on that. And appreciate you coming on the show. Thanks so much for that.
All right. Thank you so much.